It's Wednesday, February 6, 2008, and you're listening to episode 89 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 57 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
Howdy.
My name is Luke.
My name is Matt.
And my name is Dex.
And howdy is Chad. And
we just had this conversation.
I know. I don't even know if I can make the jokes I had from this were gold. Now I can't tell them again.
I think
your memory might be a little.
Oh no!
Howdy is going to be a sound editing nightmare when you broke the.
Yeah.
Top and bottom of the chain on that one.
Good.
Oh, when they made Chad sounds, they broke the chain.
Yeah.
What's a little clipping between friends?
Podcasting gods are against us tonight. We normally get this podcast recording started around 8 o'clock. It's now approaching 10 o'clock. We got partway through the episode, and then my computer locked up. So this is episode 89, take two for us. But we're going to bring it back, so let's go ahead and...
bring it back?
Hold on a second. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, we just kind of stuck this Mac guy in on the first take and really didn't explain who he is. So
I need
Matt, defend your presence.
I am
there you go.
Awesome.
All right, now okay. Back to the topic.
Back to the topic. I got it.
Two copies. So Matt, who are you?
My name is Matt. I know Luke from a couple years back. I've been gaming for a while now. Since, I don't know, 1980.
Favorite game? Yep.
Tales of the Floating Vagabond?
Least favorite?
Holy crap. Are you serious? You're just saying that so you can be like, I'm going to do a weird reference to the game only four people have played.
At least I've read the books.
I thought so. Next we're going, oh, Skyrim's like Druid is my favorite
where he
game
has to
by
establish
far away.
His gamer street cred?
That's exactly it, I think.
No, actually, we're getting a more important question now. What's your least favorite game?
Least favorite game? Didn't like Alternity, though I can't remember the reasons why.
Ooh, that's not a good answer. Try again.
What's wrong with what's right with Alternity?
I like those. I mean, I never got a chance to play it, but yeah. I thought it was a pretty cool sci-fi game at the time. Now, looking back, it's a little dated, but I liked the system.
I played it once, and it seemed okay.
Yeah, I mean, ran an Alternity game.
It was nothing special, but it was nothing bad either.
Yeah, I can't say it either way. I give it a C. It didn't excite me, but
it
didn't bother.
It might have been just a one-shot that was a bit sour.
Well, you better do better than that then.
Okay.
You're on the spot here. You're on the boot.
Does it have giant robots?
I am on the spot.
Alternity can have giant robots.
Dude, that's the beauty.
Riss has giant robots.
Giant robots and, like, space vampires and...
Well, Alternity is generic. You know how D&D is generic fantasy? Well, that is their answer to sci-fi. It's generic sci-fi. I guess that's kind of why it's, like, a C or a middle-of-the-road game. It's generic. It's not... The goodness of the game is not inherent to the game itself.
But I tell you what... They had a fantastic setting called Dark Matter, which was very X-Files-y and paranormal and cool.
That was neat.
Yeah, I've heard of Dark Matter good, but I've never actually even seen any of the books for it.
Well, that's because you're not in on the conspiracy.
I guess not.
Okay. I got a message from a forum user by the name of Skyrocket, which I'm going to assume is a he. And
you made that joke in the first one.
He must like Afternoon
That's
Delight.
That's not a joke. What's the punchline to that? I'm assuming it's a him. I don't know. Skyrocket's just a forum handle.
Afternoon Delight.
It's not like it's Mr. or Mrs. Skyrocket or...
Afternoon Delight.
But Skyrocket pointed out about two or three episodes ago, we were talking about the friendly local gaming store, and we forgot to mention one of the great perks of the friendly local gaming store over internet shops, which is that great big tub of dice you can dig around in.
Boo hiss. You know that great big tub of dice? Imagine a ball pit like a McDonald's and how grubby and disease-ridden it is from all the grubby kids rolling around. Now imagine gamers in their own ball pit of dice roaming around, grasping with their sweaty, unclean hands to dice
in
there.
What you do is you throw the D4s in there so people get gouged on the D4s.
I personally like it because I love being able to dig around in there, find the die that looks just how I like.
Build up your immune system.
Roll that thing a few times, see how it rolls for me, take it out for a test spin, and then I know whether I want to take this one home, as opposed to just getting, you know, some generic set in a box.
My dice roll better when they're matched. That's all there is to it.
You know, when I was in college, I was actually accused of cheating by having some great die rolling skill. I was playing Warhammer Fantasy Battle, And I was typically throwing just double fistful of dice for a big, you know, unit on unit battles.
Were you throwing at your opponent? Why are you making me play fantasy battle? This game is horrible. It's horrible.
Well, anyway, I had to make him paint. I painted, but he didn't paint, but that was okay. Actually, he made his wife paint. That was the funny thing. He had always showed up with this gorgeous army. He never painted anything because he made his wife paint it all.
Really?
But, yeah. But anyway,
did that work around the house too?
I don't know.
It's an interesting division of labor at their household.
Yeah, he does the laundry, mows the lawn, and she paints the Warhammer Fantasy Battle Army.
Wow, but, I think she gets the short end personally.
Yeah, I was going to say same thing here too. I mean, I know when I played 40k in fantasy battles, I probably have years of my life invested in painting those armies. I never got them completely painted. But anyway, so what happened though is if I had like a real critical role I needed to do, like, you know, to, you know, have his general shot by a cannon or something that would be really pivotal on a single die roll, I would pensively hold the die between my thumb and forefinger and then flip it at the table and it would bounce all over the table. But he noticed that whenever I would do that, I would typically get the dice I need. And I guess that's just kind of because I'm Tex. But he actually accused me of cheating. And his accusation wasn't that I was using loaded dice. His accusation was that I was somehow had some great talent or some great skill in die rolling, that when I threw the die at the table and it bounced all over the place, I was actually through physics able to control how the die landed. And he refused to play with me anymore unless I went out and got this little plastic juice cup to use as a die tumbler.
I saw a thing on TV, I'm trying to remember where I saw it at, but there's this guy in Vegas who teaches people. Oh, no, it's a magazine article I read. And this guy has a class where he teaches people to roll craps. And I don't mean the rules. I don't necessarily mean cheating, you know, like palming fake dice and that sort of thing. But how you can hold the dice in a certain way and you can roll them and the way you let them eject them from your hand and you count, it's like, okay, with this amount of force, it's going to bump this many times. The dice are square, so it's going to roll this many times. And if you practice enough, you can actually get it to roll how you want it to. And this reporter went and was like, you know, I don't believe you. I'll take your class for a day or two and we'll see. And, you know, they went out to the casino afterwards and he's like, listen, you know, bet your money on me. And he's like, you know, whatever I bet on, you bet on. And I will make it, I will double your money. You put down $2,000, I'll make you $4,000. And the guy was like, okay, we'll see. You know, you kind of sold me a little bit during the class, but we'll see. Made him $4,000 easy. And he it was like, you can only use certain kind of tables. That he like looked for tables that were old where the felt was old, because he says the new ones kind of put a break on the dice and stuff. And I always thought it was an interesting article. Recently, I saw on YouTube, this guy was doing that. He was taking, it was a totally different guy, totally unrelated. And he was taking 2d6 and he was doing shooting craps. And he was showing how he could roll down whatever number you wanted. And he had a guy, you know, it was all filming, you know, one steady cam saying, okay, roll this, boom, that, roll this, boom, that, roll that. Every single time, over and over and over again, he rolled whatever he wanted to. And it was just this technique of letting them eject off of your hand in a certain way that you know it's going to bounce off the table in a certain way.
You'd be better,
you
be
know, sometimes we should record the video of this because I'm watching these guys on the webcam and I can't see Chad, but in the corner of the frame, I can see Chad's hand wildly flailing and gesticulating as he talks about these die rolls.
Hey, I'm part Italian. I talk with my hand. So you don't believe me? What?
No, I said that man could ruin role playing.
Ah.
Did I tell you the last time I was in Vegas playing craps, I kept betting with the house and I kept getting the stink eye from the other players because obviously the best odds are betting with the house. You don't win big, but you win very frequently. And so even when I was the shooter, I would bet against myself. And so the problem is the dork running the table, rather than like whenever the house would win, rather than paying me out of the bank and then taking everybody else's money to replenish the bank, he would just take everybody else's money and give it to me and then put the leftovers in the bank.
I see how that could make you popular.
That could make you
It wasn't like I was actually taking their money, but I got some really, really dirty looks from all the other players when I kept betting with the house. I finally left the table.
So the moral story here is that Tex really is a crooked cheater. So.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they wanted you to do when they were giving you those dirty looks.
Yeah.
You behaved appropriately.
I don't know if they were losing money and you were gaining money.
effectively you were taking their money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's logical. I mean, the casino is in business and obviously they're earning a profit. So doesn't it make sense to bet with them?
Only if you're not into, you know, into it for having fun.
It is more fun to let your own money ride.
Yeah.
Put let it ride. Bets.
You always double down.
Two quick announcements. Fear the Con still coming up on March 8th.
Is there going to be gambling at Fear the Con?
There is now.
There is if Texas.
Oh, no,
there.
No. No, we get in so much trouble for saying stuff that doesn't happen, and we get busted by Missouri for gambling.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
We bet there will be no gambling at Fear the Con.
I think we've already told this story, but when I went to go get the license and said, this is for a gaming convention.
No way.
Of course, in this state, gaming is a euphemism for gambling.
Sure.
And so they're like, well, I don't know that we can allow this. And I'm like, well, why not? It's just a bunch of tabletop games. And it took me forever because this is like this like 90-year-old decrepit ass woman, mummy rot and everything.
That is awesome.
And it took me forever to explain to her that, no, we're not gambling. These are... And finally, the only thing I could understand is, well, they're kind of like board games.
At least long story short, they end up playing a catapult and an atlas by the end of the day.
Yeah, that's basically it. So
Alicia didn't get that the same lady I got when I applied for unemployment years ago, we were like trying to write role playing games, and that was I was like totally unemployed, and they're like, well, what are you doing now? And it's like, well, I'm trying to write a role playing game, and she's like, you know, my cousin killed himself over role playing. I'm like, wow. Oh well.
That's like a Seinfeld episode right now.
Well, your cousin was a loser.
Yeah. Your cousin did it wrong.
I kind of mumbled something out of like, well, I don't think of role playing games. But yeah,
she'd been like, lady, there was someone at my last job who killed himself over stress at work. Therefore, I shouldn't have a job.
That's right. I should just have money.
She just whipped it out and peed on her.
I bet it was LARPing, so it's cool.
Yeah,
but LARPing.
Probably in the steam tunnel.
Also,
I know guys in college who did that, if you can believe that. Went down the steam tunnels to game and like just regular tabletop. Like,
why? They brought a table to a steam tunnel?
They
found a table.
They went to the steam tunnel. I'm serious.
What?
They called it Norfair. We're going to go to Norfair now. You want to come? Like, I'm not going to the effing steam tunnel with you guys. You go do whatever you got to do. But if I'm gaming.
I've got a mini fridge in my room with beer. Why would I go to a steam tunnel in the middle of December?
Dude, it's Norfair. It's cool. It's underground. Nope. There's really hot pipes. Come touch my hot pipe.
Yeah, my room's got really hot chicks.
Probably the only thing that's hot.
No, they didn't. You were gaming. It doesn't have hot chicks in there. It might have been next door. Like
they were on a poster.
Oh yeah, on the poster.
The poster on the back of the door. So you thought you were hiding it from?
Oh,
everybody.
Nobody could see my hot, sexy chick on the poster.
We had on the back of my door when I was in college?
Cheryl Teagues?
No, Christopher Lambert. And it was this huge, gigantic poster my roommate had. I mean, this thing was like 5 feet tall. It was insane. Barely fit on the door. And
somebody
it was
like Highlander.
Highlander. Well, it was popular when I was in college. And it was him in his full, like, you know, Highlander regalia with the blue kilt and the old sword and all that sort of stuff.
My roommate slept on the top bunk my freshman year. He was always late for everything. He painted on the top, on the ceiling, blend black paint. If you can read this, you are late for class. Get up. He giggled the entire time he did it. Anyway, I do have a shout out to Lee from the forums, who I owe a custom form tile to. I gave a little request for, hey, I'd like to look into the Scarred Lands because it was a cool setting and I want to use it for Savage Worlds instead of D20. And does anybody have those books? I don't want to buy the PDFs and they're out of print. And he's like, here, take them. I'm like, awesome. And then somebody else sold me a whole bunch for cheap too, whose name has completely slip my mind right now, which makes me feel bad. But I gave him money, so it's all cool.
Well, yeah, so the transaction's done.
So. Getting back to Fear the Con.
So anyway, about the
college was awesome.
College, yeah. Rock.
Getting back to Fear the Con, Dr. Tony Mast Esquire, pimp of the internet, is sponsoring Fear the Fruit, which is his attempt to bring some healthy diet to the gaming community. And he's taking up a collection, which he is going to use to purchase a large quantity of fruit, which he will be handing out, I believe, for free.
Yes, for free.
All throughout the con, basically just to promote a healthier lifestyle amongst gamers. I will put a link in the show notes. If you want to donate to his effort, then please be sure to stop by and do so. I've already put in $20 myself.
You blew me away.
Yeah.
I just chipped in a fin.
Really? Well, several other people have donated. Tex is betting against the house on this one, so
he's going Fear the Fried.
Yeah. Also, if you are interested in volunteering for Fear the Con, whether it's to run a game or even if you're just willing to help with something like help run concessions or whatever, please send an email to Luke at feartheboot.com and let him know. Luke's
thanks, Dan.
Cringing at me.
Thank you so much, because I don't have enough people who maybe about running the games.
But you got delegated.
I did. This happens a lot. Don't worry.
Please send an email to Luke.
Hey,
I've been contacted by a number of people on the forums to see if we're going to do a Seattle area thing. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, my work schedule has recently been changed, so I'm working on Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. So if you guys want to do something in the Seattle area, that's great, but I will not be able to join you or organize it.
Tex, you're a bitch. As for everyone else in the Seattle area, don't worry about it. Just, you know, if there's that many of you, pool your money together, carpool on down to St. Louis.
There are a lot of people in the area. I mean, Keith Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith Curtis's entire barbershop quartet.
Oh, we need to get those guys down here.
I want to have them sing both before the opening and closing ceremony songs. And one of them has to be Sweet Atlas. Now, speaking of Keith Curtis, though, if he comes down here, our crack legal team may have to approach him. Yes. Because I hear that he has heisted one of our logos and made his own Cafe Press Fear the Boot gear.
I think so. I could be wrong about this.
The hoodie?
Yeah.
No.
Did he order it from Geek Label?
Yeah, we had...
Oh, okay. I just misread the thread.
We talked about... Well, unless he did something weird, because we just talked about that a few episodes back. It's the same. It's legal. He's cool.
Oh, all right. So Chad's falsely accusing...
That's right.
All right.
Surprise. Chad's falsely accusing somebody.
Keith, if you want to sue Chad for slander, just let me know.
Defamation, even.
We'll pass you along all his contact information. If you are interested in getting one of those Fear the Boot hoodies from Geek Label, we will link that again in the show notes. And once again, this may be a limited time offer. I don't know how long they're going to offer them. So if you want one, be sure to get one quickly.
Winter's almost over.
Yeah, let me tell you, though, they are warm and snuggly.
Yeah.
I mean, they are like...
They're really
thick.
Good quality. And,
yes.
And also remember to enter in the coupon field, Fear the Boot, one word. We went ahead and told them that we don't want any cut of the take on this. We'd rather just make this as cheap as possible for you guys. So if you put Fear the Boot in the coupon field, that knocks off, I think it's 20% of the price or something like that.
And it sends $1 of every purchase to starving gamers in Ethiopia.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yes. It sends them dice to eat.
Yes.
And
I was thinking that exact same thing, but I wasn't going to say it because it doesn't make any sense.
I hope they're not sending the filthy
I was trying to figure out a way to make that funny, and I just couldn't.
You know, it might even be insulting, and I'll probably get hate mail for it. I took one for the team yet again.
Which one?
I got to come up with my own Chad sign language here. I'm just watching Chad talk about the t-shirt or the sweatshirts, and he said that they were warm, cuddly, and thick, and he actually had a sign for warm, for cuddly, and for thick.
That's right. Three different ones. I'm telling you.
Well, when he said snuggly,
and I'll let you guys imagine what he used
his
for
breasts.
Thick.
My great grandfather's from Italy, man. It runs in the genes, I guess. Got to talk with your hands.
We need someone to do a study on this.
Do the thick sign again.
The thick sign? I think it was like this, or was it down by the seam? I forget which one it was.
What are you motioning towards, Chad?
This is why I'm still hoping to make episode 100 our first and possibly only vidcast, just to catch crap like this. All right, let's get down to our brass tacks. Haven't used that little chestnut in a while.
Drink.
Luke, you brought up something at dinner tonight, and this is something, I think it was you that brought it up.
Yeah, well, Chad brought it up on Sunday and then promptly forgot about it.
But
so I brought it up again this day.
Because that was like a day ago, dude. I mean, come on.
But this is one that I can relate to, which is how much enjoyment can you get, or is there any point in gaming without gaming? And what I mean by that is, for example, within my circle of friends, the people that I've most recently gamed with, we would get together to game, and we basically had so much crap going on during the week, we're so tired, hadn't seen each other that much, that we would sit down at the table and mostly just jack around for several hours. The role playing was minimal. It was never that deep. And I compare that back to like 10 years ago when we were in our real heyday of gaming, where we had these super deep characters and ultra dramatic scenes.
Yeah, but also back in our heyday, we were in high school, generally unemployed, and had, what, 48-hour long games,
well,
too.
Right, so. Yeah, exactly. But it seems
I wonder like, just how dramatic we were and how, like, slap-happy and half-asleep we were, too.
I don't know. Day.
But the, well, I mean, we had fun, so that's
yeah,
the result.
Memories are all great. So. Yeah.
Well, I think you guys missed it anyway when I would take, like, technical readout 3025 and go have some naughty time in the bathroom. But
well.
Why am I?
I'm glad I bought my own copies.
That yeah. won't make it to episode 100. I hate to have to blur out text.
Look at those nacelles.
That's what I call a PPC.
But the point being, though, you guys are having the same thing in your gaming group, which I've been invited to join and will hopefully be joining.
No, we have the same thing, only it's like more positive. It isn't like stress of the week. It's just like,
it's become gaming. I've noticed this in the last few years, most of my gaming groups, in fact, have become a lot more, there's a lot less gaming and a lot more just hanging out. The reason we get together is to game, but we just like spending time and it's hanging out and just chatting about games and other stuff. And if we play a little bit, that's great.
It's not like 100% gaming. It's like 60-40. It's like 60% role-playing, 40% interdispersed amongst that 60%. Hanging out, chatting, hell, even throwing down with a card game.
For you. When you game during that 60 or 40 or whichever one the gaming got, but during that percentage that you're gaming, do you actually really game, or is there a lot of off-topic jokes?
No, we actually game. I mean, that's hard to...
Do you get in character?
You're talking about stuff that's completely intertwined, so you can't separate
On one hand, I mean, it's like, say, you know, Luke is running our Deadlands game, and there's a scene between him and I. Well, the other two might not be involved in the scene, so are they going to sit there with rapt attention?
Well,
no, they're going to dig around,
which is appropriate. Yeah. And then and then in the middle of our deep conversation, I happen to make one of the characters he's looking for is named Leeds, and he says Leeds kind of funny. I'm like, Leeds, and it became a huge Big Lebowski quote fest.
We
got a whole department working on that. Leeds.
It's like I was telling you at dinner, where it's like, have you ever laughed at a joke and then everyone else starts laughing at the joke and it's just this contagious laughter and then you keep rolling with the joke but it isn't that funny?
Right.
It's like if I were to make the joke now, I'd be like, oh yeah, Big Lebowski is my movie.
As we just saw right there.
Yeah, as we just saw.
Right.
But oh my God, when we were gaming though, there's just something about it that hit. I was turning red. I was choking, hyperventilating.
Everybody but the one guy who hadn't seen it was having a good time.
Yeah.
I was there. Problem goes deeper than that because we had trouble even getting into the game at all. That, like, I mean, we'd start, there'd be 10 seconds of setting description, and instantly somebody would be making a joke. You know, and we just never could even get going in the first place.
I don't know. I mean, I was part of...
to have a certain inertia that everybody has to kind of get into it. And if that inertia is broken, a lot of times it's somewhat difficult to reestablish it, especially if you have trouble getting the mood going in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally agree with that. You know, and I was part of some of those games, but the question is, overall, not the 60 or the 40 or whatever your percentage was, the 100% overall, were you having fun?
Well,
and, you know, I was part of that, and a lot of it wasn't, oh, somebody cracks a joke, and oh, that's funny. A lot of it was just, oh my God, I have been working for the past 5 days, 12 hours a day, classes afterwards, just stuck in traffic, got all this drama. I'm just beat, you know? And it's just like, you can't get into gaming because you can't get into anything.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that. It wasn't all that, but there was a lot of that. And the thing is, with what Luke and I are talking about with our group, it isn't that. I mean, it's just like we're hanging out, we're having fun. When it was just four of us, it was even looser. But now that we're starting to get more people, we have
one gaming session. Went, hey guys, want to run something? I just got Rock Band. You want to go up for floors and play Rock Band? Let's play Rock Band. That was our gaming session. It was a good time.
And then we got one time. It's like we sat down to game. And there was a Infernal Contraption, which is a privateer press card game.
Fantastic game.
Yeah, it's a hilarious game. And we just, you know, let's loosen up. Let's just play a hand of Infernal Contraption, just loosen up, then get into the game. Five hands later, we're like, oh crap, it's 9 o'clock.
And the thing is, it's cool for us because if we don't game, it's like, oh, so we didn't game. Everybody still had fun. I mean, the guy who was probably most disappointed last session was me because I felt like I didn't entertain people because we didn't do
Oh my God, I laughed so hard.
Everybody was like, no, it was a great time. I'm like, well, wasn't really my fault. It was a great time. Yeah. It worked out.
To speak directly to Chad's point, I guess I kind of cut the difference because on the one hand, I completely agree with what you're saying, that if everybody had fun, that was the objective. Our group of friends got together. They enjoyed themselves. They left feeling better for it. Mission accomplished. But at the same time, I guess the two kind of counterpoints I would have to that is one, particularly as a GM, that when I pour my heart and soul into a game and nobody takes it seriously, and not necessarily maliciously, but just once again, because they've worked the 60-hour week or whatever, and they're just tired, but you know, nobody takes it seriously, I kind of feel like, you know, a little bit insulted or like my time was wasted. But the second thing that I would say is that I get a certain kind of fun and a certain kind of entertainment from role-playing games. And if I get to go...
No, I don't. Role-playing. Horrible.
But if I get to go with a group of people to
you
play...
You still like the game part of it.
what system
are we going to use?
No, I don't like the math part of it because guys... Math is boring.
Yeah, agreed.
But, you know, I can look back fondly to those games we had a decade ago where we got really deep into character, and I kind of long to have those experiences again.
I don't have enough time for that.
And it's, you know...
I've got a job now, I'm sorry.
When I sit down with a bunch of guys and all we do is just, you know, dork around for 4 hours, once again, I'm not mad about that, but I kind of feel like there's this particular... It's like having a football game rained out or something, you know?
You still have the tailgate. You still hang out with your friends. You're still at the bar, whatever. Right, but then again, the game got rained out. Now, see, my thing is that I think it's a pendulum. It can swing both ways. I think on one hand, you can be so loose and so this and that. And we have talked about it in our Deadlands group of, you know, we need to tighten it down a little bit to where you never game. I mean, you play Rock Band, you play Infernal Contraption, you dick around. And yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. And then I think the pendulum can swing to the far opposite extreme of saying, you know, nobody's having fun because everybody is playing. It becomes stodgy, you know.
It's serious business.
The game is serious business. I think it has to be a balance. I think you have to loosen up and have fun. Because if you're not loose, you're not getting into the game, you can't get into character.
You're gonna pull a hammy.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna get a little hernia there if you don't loosen up. But you know, on the other hand too,
I don't think loosening up's gonna stop a hernia. Just saying. Go on.
Well, you gotta lift your knees, something like that. Hey man, just go with the joke over there.
I can't.
Mr. Johnny Cash, look at you.
I wear this at least once a week. I wear this outfit.
Yeah.
I'm a badass doctor, bitch.
Bend bars and lift gates with your knees. Go on.
So, you know, you gotta... Ooh, look at you, all moderating.
Yeah.
Clever edit.
Yep, gonna have to edit that one. So, you know, anyway, yeah, you have to balance it. You have to be loose enough to where everyone is relaxed and comfortable and having fun. You also need to be tight enough to where everyone is like in character. And when the game master, you know, kind of lifts up his arms and says, okay, guys, I see this is the scene. Boom. And you lay down the seriousness of it and stuff. Everybody can get pulled
in. That's the problem that I've
had. You know what helps sometimes is like a little ritual that everybody participates in that kind of
I don't want your frat rituals, Tex.
I wasn't in a fraternity.
I wasn't talking about that at all. I heard you couldn't
sit down for a week after your initiation. I'm just saying. That's probably a lie. I'm sorry.
But no, I mean, like, for example, with our group, there was the Battletech prayer. And before we'd play, we would do it. But it was kind of just a little ritual that we would all participate in that kind of marked the boundary where we would step into the game mentally.
And this is why people commit suicide.
Step into the circle.
All right, Black Leaf.
No, I see where Tex is coming from. That it's got to kind of be a group decision, because the problem that I've had recently is that the gaming groups I've been in, to use Chad's pendulum analogy, have been on that far extreme where no matter how many times the game master says, okay, no, seriously, let's at least try and play the game. five words come out of my mouth and there's a joke.
Right.
And it's we never even get started. I mean, it's just the engine won't even turn over.
See, I think we'll go on, sorry. Well, I
see what Tex is saying, though, about how you kind of have to have the sort of group agreement. I mean, whether that's some kind of moment of ritual or whatever.
I think that there's two, when your pendulum is swinging too far to the right or left,
it's time to switch to briefs.
That's right. We call that free balling. But, you know, when your pendulum swings too far to the right or left, I think there's a couple of things you can do to that besides, you know, wear briefs. Is that one, I think it's a matter of this is a group of friends and, you know, you have life, you have jobs, you have all this stuff. And I don't know about anybody listening, but I find that sometimes I can only get together with these friends one night a week and you want to hang and you want to be friends and then you have to game. But, you know, gaming is fun and all that, but you also want to, you know, shoot the
poop.
Shoot the poop, and you want to, you know, hang out, you want to laugh, you want to joke, you want to do whatever with these people.
See,
and so I think the solution to that is that you do other things with these guys at other days of the week. You actually schedule time for your friends, but you know what? That's hard to do.
Doesn't always work,
but you know, that's something that should be strived for anyway. If you're only seeing this group of people one day a week, you need to start
talk even psychological health. I mean, they have shown that the overall happiness and even lifespan of a human being can be tied directly to the number of close friends they maintain throughout their life.
Right.
That there is a significant difference. If you have, like, later in life, especially as you go into your adult life, if you have like 3 to 5 people that you can genuinely call close friends that aren't family members or in-laws or whatever, that your lifespan and health and mental health and all these things are so much significantly improved over somebody who does not. And so I agree with you that I think you should be making an attempt to see these people more often, even if you don't game.
Right.
You know, you should be trying to see these people as often as you can for your own sake of support and friendship and all those kinds of things. Yeah.
How often do you see these people, Dan, outside the game?
Lately, not very much, but that's for...
Yeah. Yes. Well, and he's joining, like, Luke and I are talking about our Deadlands group with, you know, our couple of friends.
I ran Deadlands for him before, for you guys, actually.
But, and Dan's going to be joining our group, so...
But, Matt, to answer your question directly, if I was to go back to previous groups, I think that was part of the problem, is we didn't see each other that much outside of gaming. In fact, we had real trouble, because of everyone's schedule, even trying to find just one night a week we could consistently meet. And I can't tell you how many games we had die on the vine, because every single week out of the group of, you know, 4 or 5 people, 2 to 3 of them couldn't make it.
Right.
Because something came up with the family or something.
And then the next week, 2 or 3 different people
or maybe the same people couldn't make it. And so it was nearly impossible to see these people outside of gaming. And when we tried, I mean, that then became a whole new affair of, you know, and this, of course, would get more into fear of the
drama
therapist, you know, fear of the drama. But it was, you know, well, I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that or I'm not free this night. And all of a sudden, you know, all the events we'd plan, like going out for bowling or whatever, just did not happen. And I definitely think that contributed to the problem.
Now, my other solution to this, my one of two solutions, which I actually almost forgot, but thank God you were talking, Dan, because I was able to remember.
Oh, good.
Moderation.
Yes. And Dan, you and I have actually debated this point before, so I'm going to throw this out there, and I want to see how your counter to or your reaction to it. Maybe you agree with it.
I'm in front of you, and Unicron's behind you, so you're already surrounded.
Yep. Okay, my thing is, too, it's when the pendulum swings to people not being serious enough, where you're trying to have a serious game, and it just isn't, you know, clicking. You have to ramp up. You can't, like, take a long time off of gaming or switch group or add a whole bunch of new players to it and then instantly expect, you know, a certain level of role playing, a certain level of game that you have had previously.
Right.
You have to build up to it. Now, that might involve, you know, loosening the screws a little and having a little bit more jokes and then slowly tightening them over time, or it might just be introducing more IC-ness slowly as time goes on. And really what I think it is, it's not a matter of you doing it. It's not a matter of like the GM setting hard rules like, okay, we're going to ramp up this. We're going to take it to level two seriousness next week.
Right. Well,
it's a matter of, I see, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know. In fact, I remember this exact conversation. Mm-hmm. I guess the thing that I would put on that is I look at two things. One, is that improvement occurring?
Right. That is a big thing.
If five games in, you're just as bad as you were on game number one. I mean,
and even worse.
Yeah, even worse. And, you know, I would say that even for a gaming group that's been going great for a while, it's just a simple law of gaming in my experience that first games always suck.
Yes.
It's if you can get through a first game and at least walk away with a C minus rating on it, you had a fantastic first game.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that I would look at is how committed are the people to this sort of improvement that, you know, as we, and this, I guess is kind of similar to point one, but as we go from game to game, do I really get the sense that people are even trying?
Right.
You know, that not just is that improvement happening, but do people really even seem to care, or is it just the jokes are getting worse and
it's not hard and fast rules, it's expectations.
Yeah.
It and not just the game master's expectations, but I think that it gets back to something that we've been saying in Fear the Boot forever. It's
Riffs sucks.
You guys are just jealous of my Glitter Boy t-shirt. But
it is pretty beautiful.
But
too bad it only exists on the internet.
Yes, that is true.
And if it exists anywhere else, we get sued and shut down immediately by the IP lawyers over at Palladium.
But the level of expectation, it's not a game master thing. It's not even a player thing. It's just you have to communicate. It's like, say there's a situation where gaming is not as good as it used to be.
Right.
Everybody needs to sit down and say, you know, Dan, you need to say, hey, you know, this is what I want. This is where we were at. I want to get back to that. Let's work on that. And other people might say, well, that's not quite where I want to go because that was then, this is now, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's just like from there, we reach either a compromise or we're like, well, hey, you know, this gaming group is a little looser. I might go over to them. And this game group is more what I want. Might go over to them.
Or ideally reach some kind of compromise where, okay, we need to ramp back up to this. So I'm not going to write an ultra serious game.
Let's compromise and play riffs. That way no one is happy.
Right, exactly. Because if I sit down and write this ultra serious, ultra deep game and everyone's just making jokes, I'm going to feel frustrated and angry.
Right.
So maybe it's time to bust out a simpler scenario or maybe whatever.
Maybe it could even be something totally different. Maybe you've just been game mastering too long.
Yeah.
You know, not you personally, but just maybe you should. You guys, because I know a lot of groups out there have the one game master and then all the rest are players. Maybe if things are getting a little stale, shake it up a bit.
Well, the other thing to consider is that emotional investment isn't really linear. I mean, depending on how the story is going, how individual characters are tying into the setting and the plot line, that determines a lot of it. Because if you have if somebody has a character who's not tied into the group, the world, or, you know, the overall where the arc is going, then they're bored. And when they're bored, they start looking at things on the side.
Mm-hmm.
More jokes, less paying attention, also more Cheetos usage, which can be tragic.
Yeah, that is a third suggestion is ultimately game masters are responsible for the game.
Yeah.
And so the game masters have to keep an eye out. It's just like, maybe I've gotten into this rut. Maybe I like, you know, this guy and this guy's character, and I've really written them into my plot, but there's three more people over there, and I haven't been focusing on those people, so maybe I need to tie those guys in more because they're the ones making the jokes. Things to look for, little warning signs.
Yeah, as you guys have been talking about this, I just don't think that hard about it. For the last few groups I've had who've done this, including the one I'm in now, everybody's just been it's gaming is just another way I hang out with my friends. And if I game, great. If I don't game, I've got. And actually, this week was fantastic. We got through about half the stuff I had prepared, which means I don't have to prepare this week. Woo, it's already done.
What did we say? We did an hour and a half of gaming in 6 hours.
Just about. Well, it was a little bit more than that. But well,
it was a trash session, but it was great.
Well, actually, the first part, you know, we got through a pretty big plot point, and then we moved onwards and got to another one. So we'll start better next time. But the, you know, they always say gaming is, you know, it's an hour's worth of fun crammed into 4 hours in general. So, and I don't think it was like that. We maybe had an hour's worth of gaming crammed into about 4 hours worth of fun, and I'm okay with that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the end, gaming's a social experience, so whether you're getting your social interaction, you know, just through banter with people around the table, or whether you're doing it in a structured environment with rules where everybody follows along, you're still interacting with the other folks at the table. Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally, if you just want to throw down, drink some beers, and play some Rock Band,
occasionally you do want to do that.
Or some Mario Party.
Our band is called Unforeseen Consequences, by the way. We're touring through Europe right now.
Yeah.
Woo! You're about to get our jet plane.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll be to America soon.
Mm-hmm. Coming to a bar near you.
Matt, you mentioned that you have created characters in the Hero system, but never actually played it.
That's correct. We, my friends and I, we got the Heroes Champion book in high school, and there were four of us and only one copy of it, so we just had to put the plastic cover on it and pass it around a lot.
All right, I'm going to go and tell Jim and Buffalo just to stop this episode right here.
Yeah.
No, but we spent hours. I mean, between the four of us, to say that we spent 100 hours, you know, all total putting together these great characters. And, you know, it really is a flexible system and you can do anything you want. But never did we actually manage to play because it took so long.
Hero system is easily one of the longest role-playing game books I've ever seen. I think it has the most amount of pages.
There are YouTube videos of it stopping bullets, I believe. They've actually, because people joked around about it so much, I think you can find videos where people have actually shot at it and it has stopped bullets.
Now, how does that compare with, like, the Rollmaster Compendium of Doom? You know, where, like, you know, where with the magic system where you might not, to see whether it fully works or not, you might have to go through three or four different books before
I've told my Rollmaster story on the air, haven't I?
So here's the question, though. I could think of tons of games where I'm not real fond of character creation, or I'm not real fond of the rule system, but the game itself, the setting or whatever, is actually pretty solid. I personally would even put Rifts in that category. I think the Rifts setting has some interesting stuff to it.
Well, of course, because it's everything.
Well,
anybody can find anything in Rifts.
Because everything's in Rifts.
But the point being here, let's look at this from a reverse angle. And Heroes is one of the things that comes to mind like this. Have you guys played any games where the character creation is far more fun and far more interesting than the actual game is?
Mana Burst.
Yep, totally Mana Burst. That's Dangerous. Shout out to you, Dave.
Yep, Mana Burst was... Well, we'll talk about the character creation system. You take, it's supposed to be tarot, or is it?
It's ripped off of Everway, which was a game that came out in the mid-90s. It used cards for everything.
Yeah, like tarot cards, I think.
But instead of that, it was using magic cards.
Yeah.
So you drew X number of magic cards, and you used the pictures or the text, whatever, for inspiration. Yeah. You had to tie all that into your character. And it was really cool.
Yeah, and what was neat is that, you know, we each drew like 5 cards, and you know, if you have a picture of a guy in a robe with a crown, you can say, oh, you know, my character is going to be a king. And then,
or a cross-dresser.
Either way, it's fabulous. But then you take another card in your hand and say that it's the card of desecration and some spell that rots mana off of something. Who knows? I wasn't a magic player. And you're like, well, maybe he's a king who fell from grace, you know, who has lost his crown. And then you keep on going and you keep on interpreting like that. And what we did is, like, we didn't like maybe the first two out of our hand. And then we decided, well, hey, let's mix this up. Let's make this a little bit more fun. And so we like looked at what the other guys had out. And then we took one card from our hand and put it in their lineup. And they had to interpret what you put down.
Huh.
And then we were like, then we did a couple more things like that. And then we did something where you can take one card from someone else's lineup out of their character creation and put it in yours, but you had to trade a card.
You know what I got
to
say right here is if anyone out there is struggling to come up with character ideas for any game,
you have to
any game on the face of the earth.
Yeah, our Deadlands deck too, just goofing around.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a great idea.
It is.
Character creation was a blast.
Yeah, character creation was wonderful, and you had to come to it blank slate. You couldn't, I've always wanted to play this ninja gnome that shoots lightning out of his ass. No, you couldn't do that. I mean, you had to come up because you create your character.
That's
from
the character I created in Mana Burst, if you remember right.
I'm sure.
It was just lucky that way.
Just
and the thing
down
is,
the ass lightning magic card from that.
The rules, that's actually pulled into it. You know, it's like, okay, well, now I have 3 white and 3 red and 2 black cards or whatever. And it's just like, that applies to your stats. And then you go from there. The thing is, that's when that transfer happened, when you go from the creative into this horrible morass of theoretical algebra that was the Mana Burst system, it's just painful.
Now,
I mean,
in Dave's defense, he understood it. He knew how it worked. None of the rest of us could figure it out.
He's an engineer. It was just like, oh, it was so painful. And it was just like, okay, well, I want to punch this guy. It's just like, and then you had to go through all this big rigmarole of figuring out this one number, no rolling or anything.
Right. It was diceless.
And it was a diceless system. And then it's just like, okay, you're the guy who's punching my character. My character's combat is 3. Okay, Dan, what's your character's combat? You say 4. You win. Moving on. It's just like,
very
dramatic. Yeah, and it's just like, huh?
Wow.
Oh, man.
It might be a thing with diceless systems in general, because I'm a big fan of the Amber books by Zelazny. Amber is, well, at least the first the series. The second one's terrible. But the first series is phenomenal. And the role-playing game was, I think it might have been the first diceless role-playing game. And the character creation with Amber has a very specific setting where there are a certain number of basically children of the ruler of the universe. And one of them is the strongest guy ever. And the next guy is the best hunter. And the next guy is the smartest or has the best psychic powers. Everybody is the best out of everybody at something. And so at the start of the game, you had a character attribute auction. So you would secretly bid on different attributes and try to, you have a set number of points that you have to build your character with. And you have a lot more to do besides just attributes. It depends. And this would rank you to where you had. So, you know, the strongest guy in a feat of pure strength could always beat the next guy down. You could never be stronger than him. And the attribute auction was the best. There was backstabbing. It was fun. It was just a grand old time. And the system comes down to, okay, GM, do I do it? Yes, you do it. All right.
Total GM fiat.
Oh, it's complete GM fiat. It all came down completely to GM fiat, which we had a great GM. So it worked out. I mean, the story that was being told was great, but it's like, there's no drama here. I always know I'm going to win.
I've never liked games that are played by fiat because of the fact that I feel like it's a fixed result.
Right.
That they're going to let it or they're not going to let it.
It takes the game out of gaming.
Well, yeah. It's not like I can throw down the D20. And all of a sudden, or the D6 or the whatever, and nobody saw this coming, but somehow the decrepit old man managed to just knock out the ninja.
You know me, I hate combat and role-playing games. To me, it is a masturbation of algebra. And it's just you keep working through the numbers and working through the numbers and you get a result. And I'm really disconnected from that, but I see the necessity of it. I don't really care for diceless systems. I mean, I'm sure that there's a wonderful diceless system out there that I just haven't played.
Somebody's going to tell you it's Nobilis, and they're going to be wrong, too. Just go on.
I have Nobilis. I've never played it, though.
It's a beautiful book for for the coffee table.
Yeah, I definitely put on my coffee. In fact, I did for a while.
Not much of a game, though.
Yeah, beautiful artwork on the inside. I definitely see the necessity of having rules. And because with GM Fiat, why is there a game? Why did you make it? You make characters. Why not just build a campfire and pick a guy and he tells a story?
Yeah,
you know,
precisely.
And
that's my problem with the indie / story, whatever kind of games you want. The ones that like are made for very specific settings, very specific stories. They almost all come down to, oh, I roll the dice. I get to dictate the next scene. You're sitting around a campfire passing a stick. That's all it is.
I really hate that because Mana Burst because I was trying to run this game and I did not understand Man Burst right. in any way. And that was one of the things that was explained to me, where it was like, okay, you know, you get the you have the four and I have the three and you win and I'm the GM and you're the player. You describe to me what happened. And I was like, okay, I'm open-minded. I've never done this before. It's the GM giving up quite a bit of control over the scene. And it's just like, oh, maybe this could work. The problem with it was, as we've explained in past episodes, GMs are control freaks. That's why they GM. So there was a certain hurdle that maybe I had to get past there. But the second thing is that you have players and you have GMs. And sometimes you have players who are also GMs. But most of the time you have players who only want to be players. They don't want to GM. They don't want to describe the scene. They want to run their character, do their action, and they want the GM to build the tension, make the scene, describe what happens, describe how they behead the orc or whatever. And that's fine. But, and that's what happened in this game is that, you know, so-and-so won the fight. He gets to describe the scene. And then he's just like, and punch him.
When I next.
Yeah.
And that's how I broke Chad's game. In fact, I'm like, oh, I can beat this guy. See, oh, I win.
Yeah. That's what we called the system. We called the system. I win.
What I enjoy about GMing is the fact that I don't have complete control.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing, taking a plot, taking a setting, taking a situation, and seeing what the players
right.
and the dice, or whatever mm-hmm. random decision maker you're using, that game, a deck of cards, or sure. paper, scissors, rock, or whatever, will do with that setting. You know, the things mm-hmm. that I don't expect, the fact that the story has a certain element where I may be guiding it, but right. I'm not controlling it.
John and them might have told you this example of the story. I was running a Battletech campaign, and they were complaining. It's just like, oh, all the other military and sci-fi games we play were the loners, the freedom fighters, cut off from support. Let's do a big, you know, we're part of an army, and this army lands on the planet and stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we can do that. That's no problem. I'm up for different stuff. And I'm like, okay, here's what I want to do. The army is landing on the planet, but the planet is defending itself, and it's shooting at the dropships that are coming down. I want you to roll 2d10 and just give me a general percentage of the amount of the fleet that gets wiped out, the percentage of the fleet that gets hit and takes damage. And I was thinking, it's not going to be very high, you know, whatever. Boom, it's like 98% wiped out. And I'm like, oh, well, guys, we're going with it. And not because I wanted to be a jerk, but because right. it's just like, yeah, I mean, that's fate. That's what happened. Well, I mean, actually, that's the opposite of fate. That's, you know, it's
there is a rule of GMing. Don't roll the dice if you're not prepared for the result.
That's right, because that would be so cheesy because it was this. Because
not
the players,
if you have a screen.
Well, I don't use.
You're one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Some of us don't need a screen. We just don't wear the pants.
What about that Dragonlance screen?
I didn't own it. That thing was great. The Dragonlance screen, it has fingers painted on it where you're supposed to hold the picture.
Yeah, Dave, where we came, that's the screen we had downstairs. And it had like the order of adventure, like plan the adventure, plan yeah. together, observe the enemy. Like it has a
buy
steps
supplies.
Buy supplies.
Make the plan.
Attack or retreat.
It was two actions in one. You can attack or you could flee.
Oh my gosh.
Then it had divide
like
the loot.
You need to get this screen. It sounds like there's an entire bonus episode in this screen.
You know,
alone.
Dave is going to bitch us out because Dave was like, dude, because Luke and I were making so much fun of it, and he knew that we were going to be on the next episode. He's like, take the screen, make fun of it on the podcast. Like,
oh, we don't need that. The joke's over.
It's I got to say, I mean, it's too late tonight, but for next time, man, we need to make a bonus episode just about
you know what
that
we could run a game on that screen.
You know what one of the weapons was?
What?
A man doll.
A man doll.
No one has any clue.
No idea.
But it does like 1d4 plus 2. And it's a man doll.
And a burning
and
coals.
It's blunt.
No matter how many burning coals you have, do what? 1d4 plus 2?
It's 1d4 plus 2.
It could be one coal or a whole bunch of coals.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You could be like an ogre and have a huge hand and throw a whole bunch of these coals. Still does 1d4 plus 2. You could be a gnome and have one in a sling, 1d4 plus 2. And it's a missile that's blunt.
Coals have very poor heat transfer.
That's true. That's very, very true.
They have approximately the same heat transfer that a man doll has kinetic transfer.
I know. Well, if you throw a man doll into a mandala...
No, you know, who
you
knows?
Mess up the sand. I guess, but I'm
sure that there are rules for that in D&D.
Dragonlance, at least.
Yeah,
they can't be more complicated than the grappling rules.
Yeah.
Well, this is second edition, at least, if not prior. The screen, it's old.
It's bad.
It, of the 8 panels, 9 of them are all weapons.
You know, actually, shorts. Throwing out 110% other games where character creation was more interesting than the game, first edition D&D. The way the rules were originally written, where you were supposed to roll straight down, then see what your character mm-hmm. could be, you know, and all that, I found was very interesting because you couldn't sit down with any preconceived notions, that you just had to roll them out and then try and kind of work your character through based on those rolls.
But, oh, baby.
My problem with that
3d6 straight, no rearranging. That's a way to do it. That's a real man's way to role play.
My
right
problem
there.
With that
hardcore.
Is that, like, I want to play a paladin. I've played a fighter, I've played a mage, I've played a hunter.
No, you don't have stats for
I've made these, yeah. But
you're
no,
going to play a
no
role.
One can have the stats for it.
No.
It's impossible. There are no paladins. But what if I really want to play one?
Well, particularly
tough cookies.
Particularly second edition. I think they backed off on that on third edition.
Well, because nobody paid attention to that, because people want to play paladins.
The stat requirement in second edition for a paladin was obscene.
Yeah,
but that was with the assumption, though, that, yeah, that's the point, is very few people can ever achieve being a paladin.
And here's how we're going to restrict that, by making it impossible to roll.
Because Gary Gygax will show up at your doorstep and break your kneecaps.
Yeah, he didn't do second edition gas. That was only first.
No, but basic. Still Gary. He's the only one with, like, the magic boots that and the hat that told him someone was breaking the rules, and the boots took him to the doorstep.
And then he had that magic crowbar by which he would kneecap you.
Bam, bam. Oh, Mom, Gary broke my kneecaps.
And once again, this is how rumors get started.
And we'd like you guys to spread those rumors. So be sure to go to and fro on various forums and phone chains and spreading those.
Did you hear what they said about Gary?
And in the meantime, we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.